As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide makes simplicity a priority so financial professionals can help their clients achieve their retirement goals. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by CBOE VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures or learn more at CBOE.com/powerful outcomes VIX. Global equities extending declines as a sliding oil price weighs on industry groups from banks to commodity producers and drags down emerging markets. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures down 18 points, Dow E-mini futures down 159, NASDAQ E-mini futures down 55, the DAX in Germany is down 2.5%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, the yield 1.69%, yield on the 2-year 0.72%. NYMEX crude oil down 3.5% or $1.12 to $30.75 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.2% or $14.10 to $12.36.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.0966, the yen, 111.80. Lowe's posting fourth quarter sales that beat analyst estimates following larger rival Home Depot and taking advantage of a years-long real estate rally that's spurring consumers to spend on their homes. Chesapeake Energy saying it intends to pay a $500 million debt that's coming due in 3 weeks after exceeding its first quarter target for asset sales. Its shares are down 4% this morning. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Karen Moscow. Well, the news of the morning, Jack Lew, the Treasury Secretary, telling our David Westin, there is not a crisis out there that the G20 needs to respond to. We were talking with Diana Chaleva just a moment ago from Lombard Street. She agrees there's not an economic crisis. U.S. doing better than most people think. Europe doing better than most people think. Is there a political crisis, a geopolitical crisis out there? Anders Kohr is the founder of Kohr Analytics, and he joins us now to follow up again on the Secretary's remarks. Anders, a lot going on. We've got face-off between Iran, Saudi Arabia, the U.S., Europe, Russia in Syria, and you've got issues in Ukraine popping up again. A lot of questions about whether or not there is a geopolitical threat to the global economy. What do you think?
Well, there's certainly some concern there. The extent to which it hits the economy is another issue. But right now the U.S. and Russia are under negotiations about Syria and exactly what the ground reality is going to be there. Remarkably, the negotiations are getting down to the point of how much territory is Nusra going to hold, how much territory is ISIS going to hold, and the question really is, will these entities, terrorist entities, actually listen to whatever the U.S. and Russia say? I would say doubtful.
Anders, I am really enlightened to know how you link oil dynamics and the global oil OPEC, non-OPEC U.S. industry into your international relations. How's it fit in right now?
Well, the U.S. and Saudi Arabia are very close allies on this, and some of the speculation that I've heard is that somehow Saudi Arabia's decision to keep pumping oil and even increase pumping oil over the last year or so is in part to punish Russia. Now, total speculation, I haven't really seen evidence on that, but I think it's an interesting theory.
Well, where does that end up? At this point, we've got more oil. I understand they're starting to turn away oil at Cushing, some grades of oil. They just don't have any storage left. So how does this play out?
Saudi Arabia has said that they're willing to go down to $20 a barrel in order to let the market work. Their point is that they can produce at very, very low levels. The U.S. shale producers cannot cannot produce at those low levels, and so they rightfully have market share at their old market share levels. So they're looking to squeeze out the U.S. shale producers. Iran wants to gain market share. So there's a market share battle going on right now, and that's why we see oil
right.
keep dropping.
Anders, within international relations, the migrant issue and the refugee issue is front and center across all of Europe. Can you fold that into the present market dynamics? I mean, I don't buy the idea it's all Brexit. That's just, or all Super Tuesday for that matter. But how does the crushing scale of the migrant refugee debate fold into, if it does, Euro economics?
Well, the refugees, some people argue that the refugees can yield more labor in Europe. But Europe is already awash in labor. I mean, there's a lot of the southern European countries that have very high unemployment rates. And so when you have all these refugees flooding in from war-torn countries, it's really a destabilizing factor. It's leading to a lot of disagreement among the EU countries. People are questioning Schengen, which is the freedom of movement between, of people between the countries of the EU. It's playing into the Brexit or British exit movement in Britain. It's very disaggregating, very destabilizing, and I think Putin, who is in part responsible for the refugee exodus out of Syria because he supports. I mean, his own planes are bombing villages there, and he's supporting Assad's planes bombing
yeah.
villages, and that's what's creating this exodus. So in part, it's playing into his desire to destabilize Europe and maybe punish Europe for what it's doing.
Mike, we got a little bit of strength in the tape. It's been a really ugly 2 hours, and there's a little bit of a bid to the tape. But you wonder, Mike, how the international relations overlay goes on a Europe trying to find marginal growth. I would think migrants and refugees could almost be growth stimulating.
Well,
but we're not there yet.
As Anders says, there's a little bit of a fallacy in that. Actually, the concern some people have, Anders, is that by the summertime, when the migrant crush is expected to be in full swing because the weather's good enough for them to really try to get across the Mediterranean, that we're going to see, maybe even Greece back in a Grexit mode.
I think it's possible. I mean, Greece has threatened to scupper the deal, any kind of British deal, in terms of keeping Britain happy in the EU. And the Syriza, which is the very left wing British party that's now in power, has been friendly with Putin in the past. We remember, a while ago when the Prime Minister of Cyprus was visiting Putin and threatening to take money from Putin instead of deal with the Troika, the IMF and the others. So it's Syriza is not a friendly party for the EU.
What about the U.S. presidential election? We have, I don't even want to characterize.
Anders has like 5 degrees from fancy schools, and we're going to sink into the morass of the U.S.
No, we're not going to sink into it. We're going to try to stay away from the morass. But you have candidates running around talking about how terrible things are in this country with no plan to do anything about it except to make people angry. How much of a threat is that to global order?
Well, I mean, I think that internationally, people really despise Trump. And so he's on the front and center on the TV all the time. And we're really not showing our best side to world public opinion when he says things that are anti-immigrant or, close to racist. So it's not our best side, but it is a democracy, and that's a plus at least.
But does it have knock-on effects to policy, to the world order that we're going to have to deal with.
What sort of knock-on effects are you thinking about?
Well, I'm just wondering if if it limits our ability to gain international cooperation on some of these key issues we're talking about.
I think so. I mean, it's definitely people look at us and wonder. I think there's a big question, how will the next president respond to Russia? How will the next president respond to China? Everyone's looking at how these presidents, are they tough on Russia, likely to be tough on Russia or not? Bernie Sanders is very, very soft on Russia and China. I think Hillary Clinton will be similar on Russia and China to what Obama did. Maybe she'll have a bit of more of a chip on her shoulder and she'll have to prove herself a bit more. So she might be marginally tougher. Trump will be tough on China and soft on Russia. No. I mean, he said he likes Putin.
Anders Kor, thank you so much. Anders Kor with Kor Analytics. Mike, that was interesting. I mean, an international relations take on our domestic politics and particularly what we're seeing in the markets this morning. Let me go granular with you right now. And a surveillance correction. Thank you, Bob Cinch. The intraday low, not a record low. The record low was like a year ago or low, where we almost went down to zero on the German 10-year. But we hit a recent low on the German 10-year early this morning, just for half a cup of coffee. Right now, a little bit of a rebound, 0.147% on the German 10-year. And you can take that across really everything out there a little bit. We have a sigh of relief. Futures negative 18 up to negative 16. Another hour of Bloomberg surveillance.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.